Steve McDonald, you and I have not talked in a very long time about our old friend Chris Stevens. But of course, Chris's and my birthday is coming up. And because it's Chris's birthday, you are now engaged in your annual tradition of raising money to do the Lord's work. Well, not to do the Lord's work, to do Chris's work. Do I have that right?
You do.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 540, Stevens Scholar Program. This week marks the birthday of my old friend and college roommate Chris Stevens, the American ambassador to Libya, who was killed in Benghazi in 2012. In 2013, Chris's family established the Stevens Scholar Program at the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at our alma mater, the University of California at Berkeley. And in the same year, Chris's and my roommate in college, Steve McDonald, established Words and Deeds, a not-for-profit that raises money to support the Stevens Scholar Program. This week, Steve and Words and Deeds are hosting a golf tournament and fundraising auction in tandem with our college fraternity ATO Alpha Tau Omega's Founders Day ceremony. So I asked Steve to tell me about the fundraiser, the Stevens Scholar Program, and how Steve's nonprofit Words and Deeds came about.
Words and Deeds, the full name, which won't fit on any stationery. Words and Deeds, honoring the legacy of Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. And the reason we set it up is because Chris's family always were dedicated, and they still are dedicated to public service, as you know. And his family wanted to do something to honor his memory by working on finding the next Chris Stevens, helping to support primarily education and outreach to encourage young people in particular to follow in his footsteps and to recognize the value of talking to each other and reaching out to other cultures and folks in other countries, sometimes in places where we might not necessarily feel welcome. That was what Chris was always doing. And gosh, we didn't know what else to do. I mean, you and I were wringing our hands and trying to figure out how to deal with all of this when it happened after that. And it has been a beneficial thing and a therapeutic thing. The Center for Middle Eastern Studies at Cal is administering the fund for us, and they've actually built it up in these few years to something significant, and it's growing in significance each year. The State Department has started a program called the Stevens Initiative. They're focusing on virtual exchanges like this one using Skype and probably more advanced technologies. They want to eventually be able to establish classes in countries, particularly in North Africa and the Middle East, so that kids starting really at grade school level on up into high school and college can interact with each other and learn together and recognize that we have more in common than we do differences in many ways. So what's happening with the fund, they did a benefit at Memorial Stadium. It was very nice, and it was in January. Center for Middle Eastern Studies threw that gala. They called it the Stevens Gala. And gala? I don't know. How do you say that? What they try to do is we try to have an event like that once a year, invite some speakers, what I find most enjoyable about it is they bring in the students who sometimes we have the students come in who have been Stevens scholars in past years, and in this year we had the three that have been selected for this year, and they get up there and tell us what they're going to do with their scholarship. They try to put boots on the ground, if you will. They try to help these kids with a stipend and travel expenses so they can actually go to the countries of interest. Emily Gottreich is the chair of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies now, and she took this program under her wing. She actually, when we were casting about over at the university trying to decide which programs we might be able to try to support, I called the Center for Middle Eastern Studies just out of the blue, and they connected me with Emily, and she was the vice chair at that time. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you called me. I was working on programs with Chris and corresponding with him, and he had reached out to her and asked for help on setting up cultural exchanges and other programs through, you know, with the university's assistance." So it was easy for her to get behind it, and she's been a big supporter ever since.
I was saying you're carrying on Chris's work, but you kind of literally are continuing his work with Emily.
These kids are, yeah.
Yeah, the kids are, sure.
Yeah. It's great to hear the kids, how much enthusiasm and energy and positive energy they have when you hear them talk about the programs that they've done. We actually gave a scholarship to an ATO last year. It was great to hear from him. He went to Jordan, and I wish I could remember all the subject areas of focus that these guys told us about.
But so what happens is that the money goes to this money goes to Words and Deeds, which goes to the Stevens Memorial Fund at the Center for Middle Eastern Studies, and then from that fund we choose students can apply to be a Stevens Scholar. That's right. And I think the first year you had like one, and then you're supporting two, and now the fund is large enough to be able to support give scholarships to three. Is that right?
That's right. We did three this year, and we want to continue to build it up. And they're also getting some help from the Aspen Institute. And anyone who's interested in this should go to UC Berkeley and just type in, or just Google CMES, UC Berkeley, Center for Middle Eastern Studies, and it will pop up. And you'll see an icon for the different Chris Stevens programs and little mini interviews of the scholars.
Cool.
So it's a good program. It's a good positive thing that we can build on in these uncertain times.
Well, and it seems you talk about the digital initiative and the challenge of putting the boots on the ground, as 'twere, is that it's hard. It's a different world than it was 5 years ago. You know, it's Americans are less welcome. You know, according to Homeland Security, you know, people from that part of the world are less welcome in our country. So how do you have dialogue if nobody can be with each other? It seems like the challenge is getting even worse.
Well, and you know, Sally had me do Ancestry.com, and I learned through spitting into that little vial that my DNA says I'm 4% North African. So I'm probably on the no-fly list as well.
with a name like McDonald, I'm not surprised.
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Walsh of the Upright Citizens Brigade, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? This week, you can see us perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in both the U.S. and the U.K. The RSE U.K. returns tomorrow night, April 18th, performing in Richmond, then moving on to Musselburgh, Alnwick, Goole, Leeds, Torquay, Hartford, Bedford, Oxford, Stroud, Thornbury, Milton Keynes, Stoke-on-Trent, Porthcawl, Worcester, York, Eastbourne, Woking, Derby, Folkestone, and Bromley. And the RSE US returns this week, too. We're performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in Reston, Virginia for two nights, this Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd. Then one night only in Waukegan, Illinois, Flint, Michigan, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then for three nights, we'll be at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. Also this Sunday, April 23rd, is William Shakespeare's birthday. So please check our Facebook and Twitter feeds, as we will be announcing something very special that I think you're going to love. That's this Sunday, April 23rd. Check it. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe, and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Steve McDonald, talking about the programs that celebrate and continue the legacy of our friend Chris Stevens.
I mean, it seems like the value of this work of finding the next Chris Stevens is even stronger now, because now we live in a time where the current administration thinks that the State Department should be an arm of Exxon Mobil, you know, and that's not at all who Chris was. Chris, and most people at the State Department are not partisan. They're about America. I was about to say America first. They're about country. They're about developing relationships. And we've told the story in the past about how, you know, when he got appointed to be ambassador to Libya, his mother went, "Why do you have to go over there?" And Chris said, "Because, mother, it's, you know, it helps America's interests if people over there see us as nice guys." And that's what Chris was.
You know, nothing is easy. It's like what Secretary Schultz said at Chris's memorial, that democracy is not for sissies. And statecraft and the work of diplomacy is one of the most challenging aspects of all of this. I was just in a mediation training program, and they gave us a cartoon that the guy handed out on the last day of this training. And it's guy standing in it's like a New Yorker cartoon. It's guy standing next to a bunch of war hero statues in Central Park or something. And there's a guy with a sword, and there's a guy on a horse. And one guy says to the other guy, "How come there are no peace heroes? How come there are no statues for peace heroes?" And I thought of Chris when I saw that. Well, I said, I got to incorporate that somehow.
Absolutely. Well, he was given that posthumous award in L.A. By that group, the Center for Mediation, because he was a guy who absolutely believed in, you know what, let's just all sit in a room and figure this out before it has to come to gunplay. I really do hope that I can come, not so much to the golf tournament one year, but to the dinner where the young Stevens scholars kind of present what they've done, because these kids seem really inspiring.
They really are. It's really fun. Well, you're going through that now when you're teaching up there too. It's fun to interact with these kids.
Yeah, it's true. It's great. It keeps us old men young.
And they say the darndest things.
It's true, they do.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I'll post links on our website where you can find out more information about the Stevens Scholar Program, the Stevens Initiative, and ATO Founders Day. And if Words and Deeds ever gets a website, I'll post a link to that as well. Send us your initiatives via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to Pee-wee golfer Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand, and this week by Claude Bowling and Jean-Pierre Rampal. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Ali Stratton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Matt Walsh, one of the founding members of the Upright Citizens Brigade, who also plays White House Press Secretary Mike McClintock on HBO's Veep. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner, 540 1620ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You're doing great work supporting, you know, Chris's work and his legacy. But has it improved your golf game?
Not even a little bit.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.